As a listener of our show, you know just how important it is to be vigilant when you're out for an evening run or walking to your car by yourself, especially if you're a woman. Women are easy targets for predators, but it doesn't have to be that way. You should be free to do you and feel safe, and I feel safer than ever with my Birdie personal safety alarm. It's made for women, by women, and you can get yours for 10% off today when you use code COUSINS15. By supporting our sponsor, you're supporting our show. So go to shesbirdie.com and use code COUSINS15 for 10% off today.
Hey friends, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Some exciting news.
Happy birthday to you. I won't quit my day job.
I think you could do better.
I could.
Today our podcast turns one.
That's me blowing out one candle.
I like it. So yes, our first episode dropped on May 24th of 22. So here we are a year later.
Man, that's wild.
I know. This year has gone by so fast.
So fast. So fast.
So fast. Wow. I mean, it sounds cliche, but it really has.
Yeah. And I think we've only taken 1 week off or 2 weeks.
I think there was two, maybe three, honestly. I think,
yeah. And then we had a couple bonus episodes in there, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for supporting our show. We work really hard. We both are very busy people, and we still manage to write these stories and work really hard on these stories and record and edit and do all this stuff for you guys. And everyone who's listening, you're supporting our show by listening, so we really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. And you kind of just took the words right out of my mouth. We keep seeing more followers on social media, yeah. So that's really exciting. So thank you to everyone who listens and supports and tells other people about us and hits the like button, gives us the 5 stars.
Exactly.
We love you and we thank you.
Yes.
It's been really fun. And to take a look back, we could say that we've had some challenges with like the audio.
Yeah. If you listen to like our first episodes, it sounds like, I don't know, it just sounds like we're a couple of people in the bathroom or something. I don't know. It's just really poor. We were trying to figure out how to record together because we're in 2 different places, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. But also, you know, we've had challenges with finding, like Candace said, finding time in our busy lives to put the episodes together and get together to record. But what's been easy is doing this and navigating this journey with you, Candace.
Oh, we're cousins on crime. You're the best true crime partner.
Oh, look at us. We just love each other. But seriously, like we just mesh together like macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Or like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. Or like mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah. Or like sweet tea and anything.
Yeah. Oh, or here's one, red beans and rice from Popeyes.
Yum. Oh, don't start me.
Can you tell I'm hungry?
All of your things were like delicious foods.
Yeah.
Well, right back at you, kid. Because, like I said before, sometimes I'm just toe up from the flow up, and I'm crawling to the finish line at the end of the day, and we record at night most of the time, so we're both pretty exhausted, and, you know, we make it work. But yes, it's easy to hop on, and I get a little bit of energy from your essence, even though it's over the interwebs.
FaceTime.
Yeah. But,
Well, Candace, go ahead and tell them what we're doing to celebrate our 1 year.
Okay. That's the drum roll. We have, you want to say it with me? Merch! Woo! Our first ever merch. I know you guys want to wear our faces, our baby faces on your bod. Drink from a mug that has our baby faces on it. We have a new logo, or what, cover art, if you will. So we have put that on t-shirts and mugs and bags and all sorts of stuff for you guys. So if you want to support our show and you love our show and you love us and you want to, I don't know, wear our baby faces, you can go to, it's cousins-on-crime.myspreadshop.com. And because I know you're not going to remember that, it's linked in the show notes. And for the next few days, actually the next week, all merchandise will be 15% off in the shop. So hurry.
I like the discount.
Load up your carts. Our family has already hit this pretty hard. I mean, I knew we could count on them.
Yeah, for sure.
To support our show. But yeah, I ordered a shirt. I cannot wait. I think it comes tomorrow.
Oh.
I got one for Hazel. I got one for Daniel. And I already have ideas for other merch in the future, like not just our cover art, but like other things that we talk about and we say, inside like jokes. Slogans. Yeah, okay. Exactly. So I've already got ideas, and it'll be coming in the future. But for now, take a look at our website and have a little look-see. Tell your friends, had your kids, had your husbands, had your credit cards. But yeah, so all of that, we are now like 6 minutes in, and we have not even started talking about murderous rampages.
No, so, because we have to talk about ourselves first.
Thank you for hanging in there in the chit chat, and let's get started.
Okay, well, today I'm talking about Emily Morgan and Tatanika Elix.
Okay.
This case was brought to us by our auntie, Jerianna.
Shout out.
Yes. She I think she's sent us the most cases, so I appreciate that.
She has her finger on the pulse of true crime.
Mm-hmm. So this case, it was early in 2016 when Emily Morgan, she was 23, she met Tatanika Elix, who was 24 at the time. The two of them had a couple of things in common and became quick friends. Emily and her mother, Kim Merriman, seemed to have a good relationship. She was raised in Hugo, Oklahoma, and lived there most of her life. And if you know Oklahoma, it's country. So when she was young, she loved softball. She did cheerleading, and she did fashion and modeling, and she wanted just to be the best at everything. Sounds like she was competitive. Emily became pregnant at 16 years old.
Ooh, that's tough.
Very young, yes. So when she had her son, she changed her focus, and everything that she did was for him. after graduating from high school, Emily started attending college in Oklahoma City. Emily had moved from Hugo to Oklahoma City in 2016, where she met Tatanika. And Tatanika Elix, her friends and family call her Ty, and she grew up in Oklahoma City. She was raised in Oklahoma City with her mom and dad, her grandmothers, and all of her siblings. She was the oldest of the 9 siblings.
Oh, Atlanta.
Yeah. So family was very important to them, or is very important to them. Everybody gets together for the holidays, and they just stay around family. Tatanika, she has been known as a homebody, and she was known to be goofy, just to make you laugh, and she didn't party and drink. She stayed out of trouble. Tatanika and her boyfriend, Trey Marr, were high school sweethearts, and they had a really good relationship. They had a baby boy, and a year later, they had a baby girl. So that's one thing that Tatanika and Emily had in common is that they had little babies.
Mm-hmm. And they were young.
Yes. It's reported that Emily and Tatanika met through Trey Marr. Emily was dating Trey Marr's cousin, so the story goes.
Okay.
So as much as Tatanika was a homebody, she still liked to get out of the house and have friend time, you know, like most of us need.
Yeah.
She would go on photo shoots with Emily. Remember, she was modeling and stuff. So they would also go on long drives to run errands.
Okay.
Remember, it's the country and it takes, you know, where our family lives in Oklahoma, it takes like 45 minutes.
Exactly.
And actually, Emily, she got mixed up with the wrong crowd. She was basically a single mom. Her son's dad was in prison at the time. So Emily did what she felt that she had to do to take care of her little family. Mm. Once a week, she took a trip to McAllister, Oklahoma, and she would pick up drugs for a guy and deliver it to him.
Yikes.
Or deliver it for him. This guy was a local dealer who was well known in the community. And I really want to say his name, but I'm not going to because
he's a small business owner.
Right. And he has already filed a lawsuit against Emily's mother for defamation of character.
Okay,
so I don't want a lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly.
So Emily and this guy entered into a sexual relationship as well. The longer she was involved with him, the more control he would have over her life. When he was mad at her, her phone would be shut off and bills would not be paid. But Emily did her best to not let him control her. On August 25th of 2016 was one of the days that Emily planned to go to McAllister. She asked her mom to babysit, but Kim wasn't able to because she had already had plans that day. So Emily took her son to Tatanika's house, and Tatanika's boyfriend was going to take care of her son while the two of them went to McAllister.
Okay.
This would have been about a 2-hour trip one way from Oklahoma City to McAllister, just to kind of give perspective. But later that night, Trey Marr called Twana, who is Tatanika's mother, and told her that Tatanika went out of town with Emily, but she's not answering her phone anymore. Twana didn't think anything of it because McAllister was known to have a bad cell service in the area, so she just shrugged it off. Yeah. That next day, Twana received another call from Trey Marr. He told her that the police called him and told him that Tatanika had been murdered.
What?
So Kim said that she spoke with Emily every day and was immediately concerned when she couldn't get a hold of her. She started looking for Emily and said that she had a really bad feeling. After all, she knew that Emily had gone to McAllister and she knew what her business was about.
Yeah.
Kim started calling hospitals and police stations, and then she got a message from someone, I don't know who this someone was, but telling her that two women were found in a driveway.
Oh, gosh.
She said she knew immediately that it was her daughter.
Oh, no.
On August 26th of 2016, Emily's Ford Fusion was found at a vacant and abandoned house on East Highway 271 in Bache, Oklahoma. This is about a 10-minute drive from McAllister. Around 11:30 a.m., the son of the elderly owners of the house saw a car in the driveway and decided to approach it. Inside the car, he saw two women, one in the driver's seat and one in the passenger seat. At first, he thought they were just sleeping, but the car wasn't running, and it was a pretty warm day. It was in the mid-80s, and the windows were rolled up. He knocked on the window and neither of the women responded. As he walked around to the other side and investigated more, he saw blood. It was apparent that both of them had been shot at close range. Emily's phone was gone. No gun was found. And the only thing that anyone knew was that Emily was supposed to meet the dealer that the night before.
At that place?
I don't know where the meeting spot was,
okay.
But Sheriff Chris Morris said that whoever is involved had to know the area and the house because it had been vacant for years.
Right.
So it seems like a good place to meet,
right?
To pass on the drugs. But
sure.
Witnesses had seen the two women at McDonald's in McAllister at 11:15 p.m. on the 25th. So that was the last sighting. The sheriff also stated that he believed that the murderer was known to at least one of the victims. I mean, this killing was intentional, and they came to the house for a reason, specifically for murder. Tawana was quoted saying her daughter was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. It didn't have anything to do with Tatanika. And Kim even said the only way Tatanika was involved is because she just never wanted Emily to do these things alone. Maybe she thought she could protect her.
Yeah.
So it seems like police or investigators can probably point fingers to, you know, they know it's Tatanika was just along for the ride. So let's look at Emily's, you know, dealings and coming and going and her phone records and stuff. Emily, she knew that she was making risky decisions, and she even told her son that if anything ever happened to her, that his Grammy would take care of him.
Oh, I hate that.
I know. So the investigation started with conducting interviews and serving search warrants. I'm not sure for who, what, when, and where.
Probably everything all at once.
Yeah. I mean, you would think.
Yeah.
I would want, like I said, I would want phone records for see what she had business doing there. June 5th, we're going to jump forward to June 5th of 2018, 2 years later. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation posted a statement that says, OSBI special agents have conducted numerous interviews, collected evidence, and served several search warrants in an effort to solve these horrific crimes. There have been no named suspects or any persons of interest in the murders. Now, Kim believes she knows who the killer is, and it's just a matter of time before the case is solved. So, spoiler alert, this case has not been solved. We're here in 2023, and it is a cold case. But Kim has been very vocal about it, saying somebody's going to say something someday.
Yeah.
And Kim controls the Facebook page named Justice for Emily Morgan and Tatanika Elix. She usually posts updates, which really there hasn't been any update. And she'll post like memories and thoughts about her daughter. It's very sweet. But Tawana said she, too, believes justice will be served. It just might not be now. And she says whether it's on earth or judgment day with the Lord, it's going to be served. In 2020, Emily's mother, Kim, discovered that some of the neighbors of the property where Emily was found had not been interviewed.
What?
Oh. And that's why I'm saying, I know, that's why I'm saying, like, I don't know who they interviewed, but apparently it wasn't these neighbors.
Oh my Lord.
An Oklahoma missing and murdered support group assisted in hiring an indigenous private investigator. You see, Emily was a Choctaw tribal member, and she is now listed under the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, also known as MMIW. Mm. We've talked about that before in another case.
Makes sense now why they just pretty much phoned it in on this one.
Yeah, sounds like it. So up until that point, Kim had believed that the local county sheriff's office had done all that they could do. But without finding the murder weapon, charges would never be filed. Kim still had faith that the local law enforcement cared about her daughter's case and assumed that they just didn't have what they needed to charge the main person of interest with the murders. Because in her mind, she knows who it is. They just need the murder weapon.
Well, it also seems like she knew what she was going there for. So this seems right. Like she immediately had a lead for them.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah. So in reality, Kim was the one with the person of interest, which was the dealer that Emily went to meet up with. But the sheriff's department supposedly had already cleared that guy as a suspect.
How many times have we heard this? People who have been cleared.
Right.
How? Like, tell us why.
Yeah. And y'all, I searched for this, like, the records. I'm sure they're not available anywhere.
Well, it's not a closed case. That's why.
Right.
It's very tight-lipped when it's, like, a cold case that still hasn't been solved. It's really difficult.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't surprise me that you couldn't find those details.
Oh, no. I'm not surprised either, but I searched anyways.
Yeah,
and because I just want to know, like, what he said to get cleared.
Right. Was he at his elderly grandmother's all night long, you know?
Right.
Like, is that his alibi? I mean,
who knows?
I don't know. These kind of things just really grind my gears.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, no one else seems to be on their radar. And in early 2021, Kim got a call saying that Emily's case had been presented to a cold case team. I think it's what, like, after 3 years, if they've exhausted all their leads or whatever, and it hasn't been solved, it's considered a cold case. So Kim felt really guilty. She believed she had let her daughter down because she had not been able to push hard enough to convict and punish the murderer. And she's like, now it's a cold case.
Yeah.
A report that I read says state authorities are still searching for answers in this case. I don't know. Maybe searching means waiting for someone to call in with the tip.
I think that's what that means.
Yeah.
Searching means waiting.
Yeah. So please, if you have any information on this murder, call the OSBI. Anyone with information about the murders of Tatanika and Emily is asked to contact the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation at 800-522-8017, or you can email tips@osbi.ok.gov. And look, I'm not here to hate on law enforcement. I have family and friends that are in law enforcement. It's a difficult job.
Yeah.
I've said it before, it takes a special person to come in and do the job with integrity.
Yeah.
I love to tell cases where law enforcement does a fantastic job and solves or, you know, just does all that they can do. There are tons of cases that have been handled with much care and have been solved swiftly. But this case is just, it seems to be on the other end of the spectrum. But yeah, Kim has attended many of the MMIW events in the state of Oklahoma to tell her daughter's story, and she insists that the state do more to achieve justice. I mean, not only for her daughter, but for all that are affected in the MMIW group. So she says that she would like to turn this horrible mess into a message. That if someone hears her story and turns their life around, then it's a life saved. So I love that she's trying to turn it to a positive thing, but it's just tragic. And I hope and pray that whoever knows anything about this case will just grind your soul and you will go tell somebody.
Even if you think it's insignificant. Even if it's like someone made a comment to you that kind of rubbed you the wrong way that one time, and they knew someone who knew somebody who knew somebody.
Yeah.
That can be valuable information.
Yes.
So, wow. Yeah. I think it will take somebody talking. The problem is when leads aren't followed up on, when people aren't interviewed, we've talked about this 100 times, you can't go back.
Yeah.
Things will not be the way they were. People's memories will not be the way they were.
Right.
Ring doorbell footage, if there was any at the time, will not still be available.
Yeah, so, true.
I don't remember what I did last week, let alone how many ever years ago. So going back now and interviewing those people, it's like, did you see or hear anything the night of da 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 da?
Exactly.
Well, you know what I mean?
It's I can say it's only been 7 years, or I can say, man, it's been already 7 years.
7 years.
And I think it would be great if they could go back and re-interview some key people.
Yeah. Did her mother say, did Emily's mother say anything about why she felt like that dealer may have wanted to kill Emily? Because it seems like he would want to keep that relationship going.
Really, the only thing about that, like any kind of motive I read, was that he was very controlling and Emily did everything she could to not let him control her. And one of the things that Kim has said about this person is that there's been several other young girls after Emily. So it's not like he needed Emily. Okay. He was going to prey on the next young girl who needed money or... Yeah.
And maybe because they developed that sexual relationship, maybe he wanted something more than she was willing. I mean, it seems like she had a boyfriend kind of in prison, and
I don't know if they were still together.
Seems messy.
Yeah.
Well, if you're listening and you know anything, or you know any of the players in the story, you have any information, it could be something.
Yes. And again, I'll give you that number to call. It's the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation at 800-522-8017 or email tips, T-I-P-S, at osbi.ok.gov.
Excellent. Thank you, Lena. Thanks for telling us about that.
Of course.
I've never heard of that case, so I'm sure many people listening haven't either. So the more awareness, the better.
Yes.
Well, this was great. Let's do it again sometime.
All right, let's do it.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.